Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
I'm glad you've joined us today for part three of our three-part series on the U.S. Department of Labor Cybersecurity Instructions for Retirement Plan Fiduciaries. It's been my pleasure to host the first two podcasts in this series. I'm Ron Hagen, Chairman of the Risk Standards Committee here at Roland Criss. I'm also chairman of an industry task force called the Employee Benefit Plan Cybersecurity Working Group. It developed an easy-to-follow compliance playbook for use by human resources leaders, chief financial officers, and fiduciary committee members. Many CFOs and human resources managers are unclear about the role they play in the data security discussion. Some think that this is an information technology issue, and to some extent that's true, but we're finding that IT departments are limited in their ability to ensure the protection of retirement plan assets and data. That doesn't surprise law enforcement. Brian Smith, the section chief for the FBI's cyber division, warns that cybersecurity is more a business discipline than an IT issue. During a recent conference, he stated, "The value of information is dependent on the degree to which it affects the viability of an enterprise. The more critical the data, the more emphasis is needed on securing it." He went on to say that an IT department is not the best equipped office to prioritize the value of all corporate information. And yet, to quote a CFO who serves on the Cybersecurity Working Group, he said, I've always thought IT was taking care of our 401k plan's data security needs. I've been surprised lately to learn that it's not all that high on their priority scale relative to other data protection issues. Well, against this backdrop, investment and retirement plan committees face a significant challenge in defining the boundary between plan benefit plan management and their enterprise's IT infrastructure. The lack of provisions addressing data security in hundreds of fiduciary committee charters that we've seen means that new protocols for interaction with IT organizations are likely needed immediately throughout the retirement plan community. We're going to discuss how to bridge that gap between IT and a fiduciary committee in an upcoming podcast. But today, we're going to remain focused on the government's release of cybersecurity guidelines for retirement plan sponsors and plan participants. Most human resources executives by now know about the guidance announced in April 2021 by the Department of Labor's enforcement arm. That's the Employee Benefit Security Administration, or the EBSA. The EBSA's release covered three very different groups. The first group is plan fiduciaries in their capacity as a supply chain manager. And what I mean by that is these are the individuals who select the vendors who provide services to retirement plans. The EBSA titled the document Targeting Plan Sponsors in Their Supply Chain Capacity, Selecting Service Providers with Strong Cybersecurity Practices. Now, in our first podcast in this series, we covered that topic in our discussion of the five fundamental traits found in vendors with solid practices. If you haven't yet heard that podcast, you may do so. You may find it on our website under the podcast section. In our last episode, we expanded on the extensive list of cyber practices contained in the EBSA's publication titled Cybersecurity Program Best Practices. The list of practices in that release lays out 12 techniques that fiduciaries should use to assess the quality of their vendors' data security methods ongoing. So, the first guidance package had to do with selecting vendors. The second has to do with how to manage and monitor them ongoing. Now, the EBSA did not indicate how frequently fiduciary committees should commission an assessment of their plan's service providers. But in keeping with other internal examinations, it would be prudent to conduct one annually. Now, an example of a similar assessment that most fiduciary committees now engage is the evaluation of a retirement plan's investment policy statement. That's usually performed no less frequently than once per year. Well, as we discussed in part one of this podcast series, the recommendations contained in the EBSA's guidance don't rise to the level of regulation. Instead, they're really an outline of best practices for maintaining cybersecurity. It's left up to plan fiduciaries to interpret those cybersecurity guidelines and turn them into actual practices. Well, let's now turn our attention to the third category of guidance issued by the EBSA. It's titled Online Security Tips. Retirement plan participants are its target. Human resources needs to regularly communicate with their plan's participants on cyber best practices. Now, here's a list of topics taken from the cybersecurity tips for plan participants that can be used in email or regular mail campaigns from a plan sponsor to its participants. This list of topics can help get the EBSA's guidance across to our employees and the beneficiaries of our plan participants as well. Well, number one, an employee communication campaign could feature the requirement to use two-factor authentication or two-step verification everywhere that a participant can do so. Banking systems, Twitter, Facebook, all support the ability to enable this additional security feature that employees may not be aware of, but they certainly should be employing. A second topic, extracted from the EBSA's guidance for plan participants, that would be a good item to feature in a campaign to communicate with employees is the importance of not using the same passwords everywhere. The EBSA acknowledges that it's hard, but using the same password around is probably one of the easiest ways to break in as a hacker. So if an individual has the same Twitter password as their banking information, those are things that can get someone in serious trouble pretty quickly. A third item to use in an employee communication campaign would be to emphasize the importance that our individuals, our employees and other beneficiaries, stay up to date on security patches in their software. Every time a Windows update appears that says, "Hey, I need to update your computer," it's usually to fix a known attack that hackers have figured out to get access to a computer. So keep up to date whether an individual is using a Mac or a PC or any other mobile device, because these are not impervious to attack. A fourth item that would make a good topic in an employee communication campaign would be the subject of social media. Be careful. Let's encourage our participants to be careful how much information they put online. Attackers can look at that. They can look at what they do, spending habits, where they may be going or what they may be doing on a day-to-day basis. Going and buying Starbucks at a particular location, for example. These are all things that can be used to identify when an individual is going to be out of the country or when they're going to be at a business meeting or moving around. Hackers can use that as a method to attack. Well, a fifth category for an employee communication campaign on this subject, and certainly not the least of the five I've mentioned here today, is the protection of personal information. That's one of the biggest things that hackers can leverage to gain access to things like social security numbers and credit cards. Inform our participants that no one will call on the phone from a banking service without it being a fraud claim. No one's going to be asking online from a commercial bank for that information. That's going to be done by a separately identified contact. So whenever an individual gets a call that's too good to be true, or a call claimed to be a fraud service hotline, let's encourage our participants to call those parties back. Make a direct contact and confirm by direct contact that the initiative is coming from an authentic organization. Well, implementing the steps needed to comply with the EBSA cybersecurity guidance will be challenging and time-consuming for human resources organizations. Installing new fiduciary governance procedures will also require coordination with the Information Technology Department. Now, ignoring the government's cybersecurity initiative would be foolhardy. Resources exist to make the job of implementing it easier. Roland Chris, for example, offers a turnkey solution for retirement plan sponsors that results in a compliance framework that ensures peace of mind. Ask us for answers to your questions about how to implement the EBSA cybersecurity guidance, and you may contact us through our website at rolandchris.com. I hope you use some of the tips we've shared with you today. Join us next week on the Excellent Fiduciary Podcast. Have a great day and a prosperous week.